Brother Ziegler ended up Sunday night preaching on prayer and fasting, so maybe I can kind of hook on there and continue. Found in Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah chapter 38, begin reading at verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I walk before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. Heavenly Father, we love you, bless your word, and all that you do, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. In my text would be found in Psalms 34:18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite heart. And then a like verse in Psalms 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Brother Ziegler brought out the fact that those battles that they were going through back there in the Old Testament, and likened unto the spiritual battles. And in chapter 36, we find that Israel, or Judah rather, was under attack. And old Rabshakeh, he had came out against Judah. And in verse 20 of the 36th chapter, he said, Where are they among all the gods of these lands that have delivered their land out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? Well, old Rabshakeh, he had a big mouth, and he was full of the devil. And there's a lot of instruments such as that turned loose even in our day, but he was putting Israel down, he was putting Hezekiah down, and he certainly made a mistake when he put the Lord God of Israel down and said, you know, who is the God that can deliver out of my hand? Yeah, he had had some victorious campaigns of warfare prior to this. There wasn't any doubt about that. But he had never come up against the God of Israel that was able to defend and to deliver. And so he was putting the pressure on Jerusalem and putting the pressure on Hezekiah. And in chapter 37, verse 15, the scripture said, Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord. How many times, whenever the battle has been hard and severe, have we dropped on our knees and called upon God to help us? I mean, there wasn't any other help that was available to Judah at that time, but they didn't need any other if they could get the God of heaven to help them in this hour. And so Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord. And known later in that chapter, whenever Isaiah came to him with a word of encouragement, he said, The Lord God, because you have prayed against old Rabshakeh and against all that he's mouthed off about, God's going to do something about it. And then course, the king of Syria was Sennacherib, and he had sent Rabshakeh over there with to try to subdue Judah. And after he had failed and God had sent the blast against him and he'd turned back, then old Sennacherib himself, he began to make his way over toward Jerusalem. And it was quite a journey. If I remember right, it would have been something like some 500 miles from Nineveh over here to Jerusalem, like it was whenever God called Jonah to go to Nineveh. That was about 500 miles away, a long way to come. Well, you remember, if you do the story, how that whenever they were encamped out there a ways back, that God sent an angel. He didn't have to send the whole host of heaven to give the deliverance and to give the victory to that crowd, but he just sent one angel. And he took care of most of Sennacherib's army. It said 185,000. Now the scripture said, you can read it, scripture said when they got up the next morning, most of them was corpse. Praise God. So he left a few around. Well, I doubt there was enough left to even bury the dead. I doubt there was enough left to carry them back into Nineveh. Or into the land of the Assyrians. I don't know what they'd have done with a mess like that, but they got up and had sense enough and didn't have army enough to go on and carry on their campaign. But before this deliverance all came, we have the setting that I read this morning of Hezekiah, and he was sick. And the scripture said that he was sick unto death. I don't think I've ever been sick unto death, but I tell you, most of us have spent some weary nights sick. I remember being in the medical prison up there in Indianapolis after I'd had open heart surgery and running a fever that night. And, you know, you couldn't get even a cold drink of water. That'd be bad for you. Give you a little ice to suck on, maybe. Run a fever, and about all only relief that I got was one of the wardens or turnkeys come in and brought a wet, damp cloth and put it on my head, and that's all I had. Well, then I said the next morning, I want to see a doctor. And some fella came up there and said a little something and wanted to know what my trouble was, and I told him. And he said, unfortunately, we don't have something for everything. And he left. Well, it was most unfortunate for me. Well, Hezekiah, he was sick unto death. He gave an account after the Lord healed him, and he looked back on it, and he gave an account. He said, I chattered like a crane, you know. He said, I mourned as a dove. He turned and he tossed, and if there was a clock in the room, he could look at that, and time hardly ever passed, and how weary it was. He said, I came to the gates of death. He said, I was like a shepherd's tent that just was folded up and then it was gone. He said, I was in a pitiful and a sad situation. Well, I suppose if there'd been any medical help that was available, being king, he'd have had access to it. But if there was, and whatever there was, he probably didn't get much more than I did, just a cold, wet wash rag on his forehead, but maybe he did, I don't know. Well, oh Lord, he prayed when he was sick unto death, I am oppressed, undertake for me. Well, the next morning, whenever he was laying there sick unto death, and the door opened, and with weary, dragging steps came the prophet Isaiah. Now, sometimes you have a message of cheer that Isaiah had later. But I wonder if his steps wasn't kind of dragging that morning, because Hezekiah had been a good king. And he didn't have a bad message to tell him, Hezekiah, you need to repent, or anything like that. But he had a sad message to bring him. I wonder, in my own mind, whenever he saw Isaiah come in the door, if there might have been a little glimmer of hope that here's the prophet and maybe he can anoint me and pray for me and God will heal me and raise me up. But the old prophet came over and he said, Hezekiah, if I put it like Adam Clark did, he said, Hezekiah, write out your will. Set your house in order. Because, boy, you're going to die. He was just 39 years of age. He didn't live. When he did finally die 15 years later, he was just 54 years of age. But here was a young man of 39 years of age. And he didn't think that it was time for him to go. Hezekiah, set your house in order. If you've got a will to make out, make it out. If you can send your wife down to the mortuary and pick out your casket, why, go ahead, send her down. Or have her bring a brochure back of what they've got and pick out your own. But boy, you're going to need it. And whatever glimmer of hope that he may have had, whatever bit of courage that he may have had, it all evaporated. Isaiah had done his job, delivered his message, and turned left. No doubt the nurse was out of the room. And Hezekiah turned over and faced the wall. And he had a good prayer. He said, you know, Lord, I have walked in truth. I have walked with a true heart. I have served you the way that I needed to serve you. The scripture said that he walked after the ways of his father David. There was some things that he had done. He had removed the high places. Whenever he had took over, idol worship was rampant. He had removed the high places. He had broken down the images. He had cut down the groves. And believe it or not, that serpent that Moses had lifted up in the wilderness, they had held on to that thing down through the years after they had got on into the promised land and possessed it. And to this point, they still had held on to that thing and had it erected. And in their idol worship, they was burning incense to that thing. And Hezekiah put a stop to that. Well, he prayed. He said, I did mourn as a dove. Mine age is departed like a shepherd's tent. I am oppressed. Undertake for me. Well, when he turned to the wall in brokenness, prayed and wept like a little child, it wasn't in self-sympathy. It wasn't in any area of carnality whatsoever or self-pity whatsoever. His son Manasseh, that took over the throne later on, hadn't even been born and wasn't to be until about 3 more years. Here he was, 39 years of age, and he just felt like it ought to be different. And so he wept. The scripture said he wept sore. Well, back to the text. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as are of a contrite spirit. The sacrifices of God are of a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. You know, when Abraham back there was praying about Lot's condition, and when he prayed and said, you know, started out, if there be 50 righteous and 45 and 40, and on down the way. But in Genesis 18:23, he said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? And then Abraham, trying to encourage himself, in verse 25 there of 18, he said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Our God will do right. He'll not always do like I think it ought to be, or you might think it ought to be, but our God, the judge of all the earth, will do right. And in Hezekiah's praying back there, when he was praying for deliverance for Judah, he said, thou art the creator of heaven and earth. I mean, you can do it all. Whatever needs to be done, you can do. Well, Isaiah had turned and gone out, and back over in 2 Kings, the 20th chapter, it tells us, doesn't in this chapter, but there, it tells us that he got down, he'd left Hezekiah's room, he got down into the palace, down into the middle court. And God stopped him and said, turn around, Isaiah. I'm not through. I don't know how many times prayer has changed things around, but I know many times it's turned it around. He said, Isaiah, go back up. And he went back up, and he said, Isaiah, God, or Hezekiah, God has heard your prayer. Amen. And he's seen your tears. It's not that he had turned his back on you. It's not that he was snubbing you all the time of your suffering, Hezekiah, but God seen it. Amen. And he said, he's going to heal you. Amen. He said, in fact, 3 days from now, boy, you'll be able to go back to church. That's what it said. 3 days, you'll be back in the temple. He said, I'm going to add 15 years to your life. And I'm not even praying for 15 more. That's a lot of trials, suffering, tribulation. I'm on the downhill slope. And then he said, I will defend this city. Those three things that God responded to Hezekiah's prayer. You know, he wept sore. And it was easy for him to do. And you know, there's things that take place. Sometimes the sickness, the suffering of our children, when we'd be willing to take their place, but we can't. But I guess the thought of my message is this: until we can get to the point for souls and for our lost loved ones, till we can get to the point to where of a broken heart and a contrite spirit, we may not see much done. Whenever we pastored out in Pennsylvania, not too far from Stoneboro, Brother Jack Krause pastored an Allegheny church up there. And they had an accident. And I won't go into all that, but his little girl was seriously injured. And she was in the hospital. And her mind and thinking was messed up. And she'd say, "Pray for me." She'd been raised that way. "Pray for me." And they would pray. And then she'd say, "Pray for me." And they would pray. And maybe visitors would come in. And she'd say, "I want you to pray for me." And Brother Jack said, she just simply wore us out wanting to pray for her. He said, "I walked down to the end of the corridor, down there to that window, and looked out. And I said, 'Oh God, if I was in your place and you was in mine, I'd do something for you.'" Amen. And God did.
Amen.
But how much more important is a lost soul? That little girl was precious, and her suffering was tearing the heart out of her mom and dad. But what about their soul? A broken and a contrite heart. And whenever we really consider it and really think about it and think about eternity and the burning of an eternal hell, lake of fire, it's not too hard sometimes to let God tender and melt and break our heart until we can weep. He said, "I won't turn aside from that. I can't turn aside a broken and a contrite heart. The sacrifices of a broken heart I will accept." God answers prayer. Let's stand.